Psalm 112. And, you know, whenever I read this this passage, Psalm 112, I always think of Chuck Clark. Those of you that knew Chuck Clark, Chuck was a great man of God, hardworking man, but he was a blessed man. He was a blessed man. And I actually, this was the passage that I read at his funeral when we did it a couple years ago. And he impacted our church in a great way and impacted Sharon's in my life in a great way and a lot of people in this ministry as well. But it starts out, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord and who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. Well, that's Tim Clark. Right? That's Wes Clark. Wes's birthday's today. Did you guys? Yeah, today's Wes's birthday. He turned 45, right, Wes? Yeah. Sounds good. But see, that's he's talking about this blessing, how that it just isn't on you, how it perpetuates itself to others. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. That blessing will continue on. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. And so notice that this blessing creates things. It causes things to happen. I want to give you a working definition of the word blessing that I think will be very helpful to you. To be blessed, now the word blessing that we have in Scripture comes from the Hebrew word barak, and it comes from the, or baruch, and it comes from the Greek word eulogia, which we get our word eulogy in our language. But it means to be blessed by God, means to receive his favor, his provision, and his protection. To be blessed by God means to receive his favor, his provision, and his protection. Can everybody say amen to that? Amen. That we want that, don't we? We want God's provision, his favor, and his protection. But now the second part, as we transition out of his favor, protection, and, you know, his provision, says that so that we can use our time, our talents, and resources to help and serve those around us. See, a lot of times in the church, especially churches like ours, we start talking about blessing and prosperity, and we start thinking about more stuff. How do I get more stuff? And sometimes that's money. You know, we think about getting more finances. How can I accumulate more things in my life? And really, that isn't what the word blessing is about at all. The word blessing means that God blesses us so we can be a blessing. Amen. Not so that we can be a harbor of all the blessings and sit around, you know, and kind of like little Jack Horner sat in a corner eating his plum curds and whey and along. No, that's little Miss Muffet, excuse me. Now I'll never get it. But he pulled out eating his Christmas pie, thank you, and he pulled out a plum that was stuck on his thumb and he said, oh, what a good boy am I, right? Well, that isn't what blessing is about, so we could just sit around and go, hey, have you seen my new car? Hey, have you seen my house? Hey, have you seen my new clothes I've got? Hey, have you seen my bank account, my retirement account? That isn't what being blessed is about at all. Blessing is about that God blesses us in our lives so that we can turn around and be a blessing to other people that are around us with our time, our talents, our resources, and that we can help and to serve those who need help that are around us. Praise the Lord. So God has a plan for our lives, and that is that we would be blessed and that we would live a blessed life. And that's what we're going to be talking about over the next several weeks, is the blessed life that God wants us to have. And that blessed life, obviously, you can't give what you don't have. There's no way you can. So what God does is he blesses us so that we can help other people that are around, so that we can look for those who have needs and be a blessing to people, to whether it's our church or, you know, I was thinking about this morning, this building is a blessing. But you know, this building would not be here if other people hadn't invested into this building. You know, we're a debt-free ministry, praise the Lord. Isn't that great? Amen. No money's owed on any of this. But when this building, when it started, when they came in here in 1987, in 87, they had to have all of the ceiling drywalled. And some of you will remember that Living Word Church brought a whole team of people over to work with our people here. I wasn't even the pastor here then, to work with our people here. And they did all the drywalling in this building and did not charge the ministry anything. Brought materials, people, worked, swept, cleaned, did all to be a blessing because they were blessed. Now, they couldn't bless if they weren't blessed themselves, obviously. But we have to remember that what we have here is a blessing, but it's not a blessing so that we can say, oh, look at what we've got. Look at my church. Look at my building. Look at my new chairs. Look at our new carpet. Isn't this all just wonderful? Well, look, if it's not going forward to bless others, then what we've done is basically, we're not a river of blessing. We basically have become the dead end of blessing. It all goes to me. And when those resources, when they come in, we think it's awesome the more stuff that we have. But you know, when we were in Israel, they have a place there called the Dead Sea. And the Jordan runs into the Dead Sea, and the Jordan's full of life. But when it runs down into that Dead Sea, the Dead Sea has nowhere to go. So it's the lowest point in all the world. And everything runs into that Dead Sea. And it's so rich with minerals that it has killed everything. That's what happens in our lives when we become so consumed with having more and more and more and more and more that we're like the Dead Sea. The minerals run in, the stuff all runs in, and we literally become suffocated with it. We begin to worry about it. We begin to worry about our wealth. You know, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'm sure there are several of people that have worried about your investments in the last couple of years or worrying about it this coming year. There are people that are worried about what's going to happen in the economy. They're worried about the housing market. They're worried about, you know, their vehicles. They're worried about, will I have a job? All those different things that can come in. And look, it's not all about us. The blessed life is not how much I can get, but it's me being able to say, look, God, you bless me, and I'll be a blessing to people that are around me. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So the blessed life defined means to be blessed by God. It means to receive his favor, his provision, his protection, so that we can use our time, our talents, and resources to help and serve those who are around us. So I'm going to kind of tattle on myself a little bit here and, my thoughts. So we were in Lansing Friday, and we had gone down to see our granddaughter, take her to lunch, and just to be an encouragement to her. And so we're going into this restaurant, and there was a homeless guy that had walked in front of us as we were getting ready. And you know, it was cold. I mean, it was like, I don't know, it was 5 degrees or something like that at that time. And I mean, he's just wrapped from head to toe in clothes. I opened the door to let him go into the restaurant because that's where he was headed. And he looked up at me and he said, are you a pastor? And I didn't answer him. I just looked at him, and then he got a little bit nervous. And I said, why do you ask me that? He said, well, because of the sound of your voice. And I said, well, I appreciate that. And I didn't answer him. I just walked on. And the Lord started dealing with me. You know, obedience is better than sacrifice. The Lord said, why didn't you help him? I said, well, he didn't ask me for any help. He said, yeah, because you skirted being a pastor because you were afraid that's what he was going to ask you. Man, I hate when God is right. How many of you found that to be true? That, I mean, it just bugs me. And so he said, you know, why didn't you help him? So Sharon will tell you, the whole lunch, all I'm doing is looking out the window, hoping for a second opportunity. And we got done eating and everything, and I had my money ready to give to him. And I went out and found him. He was sitting across the street from where we were eating at. He showed back up, and I walked over and handed him some money. And I said, yeah, I'm a pastor. And I said, I just want to be a blessing to you. And, you know, it was interesting because he looked up at me and he said, hey, would you do something for me? And I said, what's that? And he said, will you pray for me right now? And so I started praying for him, and right there on the street. And you know, I mean, look, I couldn't give him something if I didn't have something. But I'm a blessed man. And look, so maybe it's just a few bucks that you've got, but you can be a blessing to someone. And you know, our attitude sometimes is like, oh man, you know, those poor people, you know, well, you don't know this guy. He could be a Marine vet who has PTSD. You know, no kid when they're little says, someday I hope I'm homeless. I hope I'm wandering the street. I hope that, you know, I don't have a home to live in. I got to sleep in a corner and freeze myself every night. Nobody starts their life that way. And so whatever's happened and whatever their story is, and we don't need to know all their story to be a blessing, but we need to have an attitude, because my point with this is that God more wants to deal with our heart than he does with what we have. If he gets our heart, then he can use what we have. If he doesn't have our heart, he can't use what we have. We just become a dead end for blessing. It just resources in and doesn't go back out. And so I was looking at some prophecies that the Lord had given me back at the beginning of 2020. And, you know, we're in a decade, and in decades are specific. In the Hebrew language, the Hebrew numerology, in 2020, we started 5780. We're in 5784 now. And 4, we talked to you about, means open doors. 5780 was the year of the open mouth, speaking forth, whatever you're speaking forth, the breath, basically. And the Lord gave me a couple of words that he said in 2020, or in 5780, will be a new door that you have never been through before, and it will bring supernatural increase like you've never experienced before. Now, you'll remember that it was in 2020 that we were dealing with COVID. We were dealing with COVID. And this word from the Lord, I thought, yes, amen, I received that. But look, this is pretty tough whenever you can't have services, when they're telling you to close the doors. But yet, Carrie will tell you that we saw supernatural blessing, because if you'll speak what God says and you'll declare, God will bless you and he'll continue to increase what you have. And I believe this was a prophetic thing for our ministry. We haven't looked back. We're not going to look back. Lack. He also said, what you increase, I will increase. You increase your capacity to receive by increasing your capacity to invest. You increase your capacity. You know, the more you plant, the more you'll reap, obviously. And we all know that from our farming community. So, but why does God bless us? Why does God want us to increase? Because there is a time, and it's here, that we are going to need to be ready to help others who are in need, who are trying to move forward, who need the assist. They need other people to give them a lift up to be able to make it. Now, look, there will always be people that need a lift all the time, obviously. We're going to deal with that in our world no matter what. But there are a lot of good people that just need a lift, just a little bit of help for us to help them. I think one of the great ways the Lord dealt with my attitude on this was when we were doing the food truck down at the center, and which is now a funeral home. But at that time, we would bring in a truck. Verna was heading it up, and we would have all kinds of, you know, potatoes and cabbages and all kinds of things. And people would line up early and come to get food. You can just kind of get like, wow, I wonder how many of these people were at the other food truck down the road that came a week ago. And you know, you have a certain mentality. And I grew up poor. I know, you know, I understand poverty, but it just is a thing that you can get an attitude about it. And I remember Sharon and I were down there helping, and our team was there working, and this woman came up to me, and she looked to be probably in her 60s, mid-60s, and she says, I just want to thank you guys for doing this. And I said, well, it's our honor to serve. And she said, no, I want you to understand why I'm thankful. She said, I work as a home care nurse. She said, and I fell and I broke my arm and I couldn't work. And she said, so I've been unemployed now for so long. And she said, and I haven't had any resources to be able to help me. She says, I've been coming here to get food every month, which is basically the only way I've been able to make it. And she said, but praise the Lord, starting next month, I get to go back to work. See, sometimes we get a mentality that, you know, well, this person, you know, they just made bad financial decisions and that's why they're struggling. Some people have had bad situations just because bad situations happen. People get hurt, things go wrong. And what we have to recognize is that, look, if we have it, we can give it. If we don't have it, then obviously we can't. Nobody wants me to do drywalling. I don't blame them, okay? I'd slather so much mud on that that you'd have more mud than you did drywall. And but look, what I do know how to do, that's what I can do. That's how I can serve. That's how I can give back and be a blessing to others. Your capacity to receive is based off of your capacity to invest or to sow, how you and I give, how we give of our lives. If you want God's blessings to perpetuate and you want to live a blessed life, then what we have to do is find ways to take what we have, not what we don't have, what we already have, and give that, be a blessing and help others with it. And then out of that, God will continue to bring more resources to us. Amen?
Amen.
That's why in our ministry, we are givers. We give to all kinds of ministries to help. You know, we just believe in it. Sharon and I, we're tithers. We give our tithe. We increased our tithe this, you know, we just believe in increasing your tithe. You know, every year we did that. We also set up an account that we just put money into so that, I mean, it's not a lot of money, but it's money that we can put in every month so that when people have needs, we can just draw out of that account. It's our increase account is what we call it. And look, when people have a need or a ministry says, hey, we're going through this, or maybe we're dealing with somebody that, you know, like we helped Stevie and Natalia a couple weeks ago, we pull out of that account and be a blessing to them and thank God. But if you're not intentional about it, that money's going to get used up somewhere else. I wish I could get a good amen. So what do we do? What do we do to live a blessed life? I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 15, if you would. Deuteronomy 15. And I want us to look at verses 7 there in Deuteronomy chapter 15. And this is what it says. If there is among you a poor man of your brethren with any of the gates in your land, which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your poor brother, but you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever it is that he needs. I want you to notice here, if you write in your Bible or you're keeping notes, that he talked about don't harden your heart. That it's a heart issue, that it's a heart issue. That you have to look at that, look, it's easy for us to harden. You know, we think of how could Pharaoh harden his heart? Well, we do it all the time. We hear something and we don't like it, so we just ignore it. We don't pay attention to it. We harden our hearts to it. And God really deals with him about, look, deals with, as he's speaking in Deuteronomy, he says, don't let your heart become hard in this, that let your heart be open to be a blessing to those who are in need. Because God is more interested in your heart than he is in your treasure. Now, pay attention to that. God is more interested in your heart than he is in your treasure. But I will say this, if God doesn't have your treasure, he doesn't have your heart. We're not owners, we're stewards. I mean, that's the biblical pattern Jesus taught us. We have stuff, but we're just stewards of that stuff. The minute that we start saying, that's mine, then what we're doing is we're opening the door up for to not be generous anymore, to not be a blessing to others. So God is more interested. Listen to this passage. Jesus said it in Luke chapter 12, verse 34. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. And we can also say where your heart is where your treasure is, where your heart is. So look, the things of this earth, can we all agree on this? The things of this earth are transitory. They don't last, right? I mean, look, I bought a vehicle, not the one I have now, but I've bought vehicles, had 0 miles on them, zero. I drove it off the lot. It had a zero on the odometer, or at least might have had 2 or 3 miles from them driving it off the truck. But I want to tell you, it's transitory. It doesn't last. I mean, you drive it. If you're going to use something, what's going to happen to it? It's going to break down. It's going to get old. It's going to start wear and tear. Is going to everything we have in our lives, everything we deal with, and even our bodies are transitory. They're dynamic. They're not static. They don't stay the same. It all begins to change. I love our new carpet, but look, we got people in here every week. Eventually, this carpet, parts of it will wear out, right? People will dump their grape juice on it. You'll spill your coffee on it. Things will happen on it that it will not. The only way to keep it pristine and looking perfect is to keep you out of here. But then we got to dust it because it'll accumulate dust, right? So everything is transitory. It's not, nothing is here that's going to last. It's all treasure is transitory. And if we get that mentality in our hearts that, look, everything I have from God, and that everything I have is in God's hands to tell me how I should use it, what I should do with it. So if we don't watch out, what ends up happening is we get that selfish heart. We've got to deal with that. We're born with it. You know, when we're kids, you watch two kids. I pick up a toy and start playing with it. What's the other kid wanting to do? Give me that toy. I was playing with that. Or that's mine. I watch my little 4-year-old granddaughter do that all the time. We're like, no, stop that. You weren't playing with it. Let them play with it. But see, that's a selfish heart. But it doesn't just happen when we're little. We migrated into adulthood, and what ends up happening is it doesn't look like that we're being selfish, but we become stuck on what we've got. We become, this is mine, mine, mine. You know, we're like those seagulls in the, it's all mine. You know, it's all mine. This is mine. This is mine. This is my vehicle. But here's what happens. We still have to wrestle with the attitude of looking at what other people have and thinking that we should have that too. Well, my vehicle's 10 years old and their vehicle's brand new. You know, I'm just as good as they are. It has nothing to do with being as good as someone is. They had the money to buy a new vehicle. You didn't. It's okay. One thing doesn't make us better than the other unless we have a selfish heart. He told in Deuteronomy 15:9, he said this, "Beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart, saying, 'The seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and it becomes sin among you.'" The selfish heart, why this is important is because in the Hebrews, God gave them what was called the year of Jubilee. Every 50 years, they sound a trumpet, and everybody's debt's gone. So if you owed anything, the debt's gone. Your house is paid off. If your kids were in, you know, you had to sell off your kids or put them into servitude someplace, that's all taken care of. And so it was called the year of Jubilee. Now, what he's talking about here is he's saying, look, don't let your heart become in a place where you're thinking, well, we're only a few years away from the year of Jubilee, and so I'm not going to help you because if I help you, I lose everything I help you with. That it's basically that they're going to sound the trumpet and then you're not going to feel like you owe me anything then. He said, look, that's a selfish heart. That's a heart that we should not have in our lives. And it's an evil heart. We should not let that wickedness dwell within our heart. You know, do you ever wonder why God created giving? Why did he create giving? I mean, look, God doesn't need your money. God doesn't need your wealth. God has more than enough resources. In fact, he owns everything. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the Bible says. I mean, streets of heaven are paved with gold. The gates are pearl. There are giant pearls. I mean, God has all he has to do is speak it and it comes to pass. So why does he tell us, why does he work on us that we have to have not a selfish heart, but a generous heart? He deals with us because he knows, one, that selfishness is rooted in sin, and that's where we were born in. But he also knows that the way to our heart is through our wealth. It's through our wealth. That if we look at our lives and say, this is my, no, hold on to it tight, then what ends up happening, we begin to think that we own this, I did this, I have this. And you say, well, I did all the work, and Lord, you know, the Lord knows I worked hard for what I have and everything that we have in our lives. And you know what? Absolutely. And you should work hard for what you have. But you would have no opportunity to do anything had God not created you and created the world that you can work in and provided the resources to do what you need to do. It's wrong when we begin to develop that attitude within ourselves and say, I did this. In fact, he tells you in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, we won't look at it today, but he says, look, I give you the power to get wealth, but there will come a day that you'll look at yourself and say, I did all this. I did all this. And you know, we might not come right out and say that, but we can develop a heart attitude towards God that, yeah, but I shouldn't have to do that because I've worked hard for what I have, or somehow I've earned the right to. Look, that's the wrong attitude. The right attitude is, God, you have blessed me in my life to be a blessing. You blessed me to be a blessing. So let me just share a piece of information with you. This will really help you. Preachers did not come up with giving. Pastors did not get together in a great convocation and say, hey, how can we get more money from the people? Now, I'm not going to tell you there's not preachers that do that. But I can tell you this. If God has your heart, then he's also got your money. And will it never be a problem to give tithes or offerings or to be generous or to help the poor? But if God doesn't have your heart, there's no way. He'll always struggle with getting you to be a blessing to others. To be a blessing to others. So we have to deal with the selfish heart. Number two, we have to deal with the grieving heart. The grieving heart. And I've fallen into this one. You shall surely give to him, and your heart shall not be grieved when you give to him. You know, you're not going to be sad. You know, I start looking at times that Sharon and I, when we've been generous in our lives, and I start thinking, man, I could really use that right now, right? But see, that's grieving. You're mourning over, you know, you're saddened over something that you did or that you gave or to be a help. Or especially if you bless someone, you know, like, you know, what if I give that money to that homeless guy and he went and bought a bottle of whiskey with it? Well, it really doesn't matter. To me, shouldn't matter, because the fact is God was dealing with me to be a blessing. What he does with it is between him and God, not between him and me. You're given with strings attached, okay? And that doesn't work either. Where our heart is, that's where our treasure is. So when we deal with the grieving heart, it's that we give to someone and we're saddened, we're mourning the loss of it. I had some stuff that Dr. Barclay blessed me with years ago. And I mean, it was some nice stuff and anyways. And the Lord told me to give it away. And I was like, oh, amen, praise the Lord. But like, weeks later, I started missing the stuff. And I started grieving over the stuff. And I thought, because he had given it to me. But it's just stuff. And you know, when you're dead, you can't take no stuff with you. The only thing you can take with you are souls. That's it, period. And so, you know, I have to deal with that. I've had to deal with that grieving heart that I made, I wanted to be a blessing and then I gave it, but now I'm struggling with that I gave it. He said, you should not be grieved when you give to him, because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all to which you put your hand. Look, if you've sown something and you're grieving over it, let the grief go, because you're stopping the blessing from coming that God wants to give you. There is a blessing that God wants to give you, but if grief is part of our attitude, it doesn't work. So the selfishness deals with before we give. The grieving is about after we give. Now, the attitude that God wants us to develop in our lives, and I mentioned this a little earlier, is whatever I give isn't mine. It belongs to God. It all belongs to him. That's easy to say when we don't have a lot, but as we get older in life, we start accumulating more and more things into our lives, and we become more thinking of our lives in terms of what we have around us or what we have accumulated. God wants us to develop a generous heart. To have a generous heart, Deuteronomy 15, 14, you shall supply to this one in need liberally from your flock and from your threshing floor and from your wine press. From what the Lord has blessed you with, you shall give to him. Why? Because he blessed you, and everything you have belongs to him. It came from him. His blessing came to you in your life. Listen to what David said. This was so awesome in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 13 through 14. Now therefore, our God, this is as they're dedicating the things for the temple, we thank you and praise your glorious name, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this to you, Lord? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given to you. What did he just say there? He said, look, everything we have and everything we're giving back to you, it was ours. It was yours already. We're just blessing you, Lord God, and you're letting us still be blessed in our lives and perpetuate what we have. It's a real attitude change for our hearts to say that everything I have belongs to God. I know for some of you, it might be hard to say that and mean it, I mean. To say, Lord, everything I have belongs to you. Everything I have belongs to you. That's a tough statement. And right away, we'll find out where selfishness is in our lives. Right away, we'll find out where, you know, that grieving is taking place in our heart. God wants us to develop a grateful heart. And Deuteronomy 15, 15, and I love this. He says, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore, I command you this thing today. Therefore, I command you this thing today. He didn't say, I want you to think about it. He says, I command you this because, look, I know where you came from. I know where you came from. How do we get a generous heart? We remember what God has delivered us out of. You know, when I was 18 years old, I was driving down the highway, drunk out of my mind at 2 a.m. in the morning, and I was looking at those pillars under the bridge, and I thought to myself while I was driving there, I really don't care whether I live or die right now. Those pillars didn't look too bad to deal with the pain I was dealing with in my life at that time. I never forget that. You say, well, why would you want to remember that? Because I need to remember what I came from. When I was born, my kidneys failed as a baby. I was less than a year old. My kidneys shut down completely. The doctors told my parents, there's no way that he's going to make it. We're sorry, unless a miracle happens. My dad, who was not a Christian at the time or a praying man, was so broken that he went into the room and he prayed. And he said, God, if you'll save his life, God, I'll dedicate him to you to do whatever you want to do with his life. And miraculously, the next day, my kidneys started working. And I don't think it's a coincidence to you. But here's the thing. I should be dead already. I should never have gone beyond that time in my life. So everything I have from that time forward, that all belongs to God. I'm living on his time, not my time. My time ran out before I was 1 year old. At 18, when I was a mess, my life was, thank God I didn't. Somehow I made it to where my mother was at, and she drove home. But, you know, it's just one of those things that in my life, I look at all of the things that could have taken my life out and realize that I'm not living on my time. I'm living on God's time. God's time. I remember where I came from. Egypt. You remember what Egypt was like for you? What it was like when you were so lost and so confused and so undone? You know, when I was, I'm almost done this morning, but when I went to the prison one time to do ministry, yesterday we had Nancy Wood's ceremony. She was a great prison minister through here. And I was at St. Louis Prison, and I was going to speak to all these inmates. And so I go into the room, and I mean, I've got a message, and I'm just thinking, these poor, ignorant souls that need to hear about my Jesus, and I'm going to go in there and rescue them. And the Lord, right before I'm going out, I kid you not, right before I'm getting ready to go in, all of a sudden, like it was like everything felt out of control. I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know what I was going to say. I didn't feel I was worthy to go into the room to say anything. I just like, God, what is happening here? He says, one, I want you to put your notes away. And he says, and when you go in there, I want you to think about how that you should be in prison today. I want you to remember that when you were a kid, you were a shoplifter, you were a thief, you were all those things that you've done in your life. I want you just to remember that had you got caught, you just didn't get caught, but had you got caught, you would be in the same place these guys are in right now. A lot of them that didn't make the choice to go, just for whatever their life brought them, they made, you know, the wrong decisions. And he says, so I want you to talk to them like you're one of them instead of talking to them like you're better than them. And at that point, I went in and I just told the guys, and they were great guys. And I said, guys, I'm here today and I'm telling you, I deserve to be here with you. I just didn't get caught. He says, I'm not proud of that I didn't get caught. I'm just telling you that I'm not better than you are. But here's what I do have that I want to bring to you. And I started talking about how the Lord rescued me and saved me. We need to be able to help people in life. We have to have that kind of attitude in our lives that God has helped us. Think of times in your life where God has helped you when you were struggling. And you say, well, I can't think of anything financially. Well, he got you into the right church at the right time or with the right person at the right time that you heard the gospel in the right place at the right time and were delivered at that moment when you received Christ into your life. So nobody's done this alone. Nobody's done any of this by themselves. Somehow someone has prayed or invited or helped. But to bring us out of Egypt, God worked a miracle so that we could get to that place. I know that you think Chuck has been a Christian all his life and has just been this perfect altar boy that served in the Episcopal Church and was just this awesome kid. But I'm going to tell you, he was not. He was not. And it wasn't until he heard the gospel and heard the truth about the Jesus that he had done all kinds of stuff for and made a decision in his life to accept Christ. How old were you, Chuck? 16 years old. Had attended church your whole life, right? But the gospel became real in his life at that moment. And look, God delivered. You don't know Chuck's story before 16, and we don't need to know it. Like, I don't want to know your story before Jesus. All I want to know is what's happened after Jesus. Amen. Amen. Yeah, thank you. But see, that's the generous heart. How can I be a giver? Because God has given me so much. When we forget that, we're on our way to starting to think about, this is all my stuff and I've done all this myself. Does that help you today? Awesome. I want to continue to be blessed. How many of you want to continue to be blessed? I mean, you really, come on, stand up with me if you would. You want to continue to be blessed in your life. Blessed, favor on your life, increase in the stuff that, man, if you want that in your life, then here's the thing. Whatever you've got, start being a blessing with it. If you know how to do something, be a blessing to other people with it. You know, Chuck Clark, I was talking about the blessed life. If you knew Chuck, you knew that Chuck would do anything for anyone that had a need. He would never ask for it. I remember trying to pay him for some stuff and he wouldn't let me do it. He just said, no, put that away. Because he just wanted to be a blessing and a lot of times he'd cry because he would talk about, because he was a weeper. Those of you that knew him, he'd cry because he was so grateful for what the Lord had done in his life. For what the Lord had done in his family. We should be a blessing. So you want the blessings to continue to come to you, live the blessed life, then we've got to continue to be a blessing. Amen. Father, thank you for your word today. Chuck, you can go ahead and come up who's doing this, Dakota today? Father, thank you. Lord God, help us, Father, to not have a selfish heart. Help us. Lord, and if we do, just shine the light of your word in our hearts, Lord God, yes. Where we're just about us and our own making it, God, to make sure we just make it to the end. Lord, where we have entered into survival mode instead of being a blessing. Father, help us, Lord God, to not have a grieving heart where we're just grieving over, man, I don't know if I should ever give the church that money or ever help that person, or they haven't done anything good with it, or it didn't turn out the way I thought it would. Lord, help us to deal with our own grieving heart, that we would stop it. And Lord, that we would be grateful, to live with a grateful heart, remembering all that you have done for us and how good you have been to us. And God, how you have brought us to this day. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord God. We thank you that you are continuing. Thank you that you love us so much, God, so much, like Carrie was talking about. Lord, you love us so much that you accept us just like we are right now. But God, you love us too much to leave us that way. You just won't let us stay the way we are because you just know that there's something better for us. And all God's people said, amen. Dakota?
Amen.